If Hedvig Eva Maria Kiesler had been born today, she might not have bothered with a career on the stage and screen at all. Possessing a fierce intelligence quite beyond many of her peers, it's interesting to consider the direction her life might have taken had she been empowered to pursue something other than fulfilling the exotic ideal of the early 1930s screen siren. Towards the end of the 1920s, young Hedy was spotted by a producer, Max Reinhardt, and lured to the bright lights of Berlin. After working on her craft and performing on the stage, the young hopeful returned to Vienna, where she set her sights on a career in the movies. She even managed a meeting with MGM chief Louis B. Mayer, who generously shared his thoughts on the explicit differences between Europe's film industry and the ballooning output back in Hollywood. As he bluntly put it, "Naked smut may fly over here, but don't expect to make a career in Hollywood." In 1932, Hedvig found what could have been her first big break, though it didn't exactly work out that way, at least not immediately. Ecstasy tells the story of a young woman trapped in a passionless marriage to an older, wealthy man. In the grip of frustration, she chances upon another, much younger man during a spell of nude swimming. While Ecstasy was not the first film to show actual nudity, many believe it to be the earliest depiction of sex in a non-pornographic film. During production of the famed orgasm scene, Hedy apparently had trouble conjuring what was considered an appropriate facial reaction. The effect was achieved by repeatedly jabbing her naked backside with a safety pin while the camera focused on her face. Instead of capitalizing on the scandal, as Marilyn Monroe would do decades later in the wake of that Playboy spread, Hedy chose a different path. She married a wealthy ammunition businessman named Friedrich Mandel.
"I am very glad to be able to express my friendly feelings towards the American nation. Friendship, which we Italy uses the millions of citizens.
His contact book included just about every power broker in Vienna. But there were also some dark names in there, such as the Italian dictator Benito Mussolini. And despite being Jewish, Mandel was apparently an esteemed enough citizen to warrant the title of honorary Aryan, bestowed by Adolf Hitler. Initially, the marriage might have seemed fairly convenient for the young, naive Hedy. She was virtually a kept woman by a wealthy, powerful man who at least appeared to have his wife's best interests at heart. When an American release of Ecstasy was looming, Mandel put his considerable resources to work, purchasing every copy of the print that he could find and having them burned. Soon, however, things took a dark turn. Hedy's basic freedoms were slowly restricted. She was only allowed out of the house at certain times or for certain purposes, and her personal finances were replaced by a small allowance controlled by her husband. Then her telephone calls were monitored. When Mandel travelled, their staff were instructed not to let Hedy leave the house. She became a prisoner in her own home. And yet, when Mandel's associates visited in the evenings, it was expected that Hedy would play the role of hostess. Dinner gatherings would often involve the likes of Benito Mussolini and others from his circle. During one dinner, Hedy overheard a British colonel expressing disapproval of the Nazi movement. Sensing an opportunity, Hedy waited patiently for Mandel to leave the room before she quickly whispered in the ear of the colonel, begging him to help her leave Vienna. The colonel agreed, but only if she could find a way to contact him after he'd left their home. That evening, after their guests had departed, Mandel casually approached Hedy with the suggestion of listening to some music. But when he dropped the needle on the record, it wasn't music that she heard. It was her own voice. Mandel had been recording every moment of Hedy's brief conversation with the colonel. With her every move already being monitored, Hedy's short leash became even shorter. Rumours of problems in their marital home were spreading all over Vienna, but few could have known the extreme nature of Hedy's dilemma. Now forced to keep all her jewellery in a safe that only her husband could access, she started thinking one step ahead of Mandel. Each night, before handing over her jewels, she'd keep one or two pieces and post them to a friend in Paris, who would sell the pieces and keep the cash for her. When she'd built herself enough of a nest egg, it was time to hatch her ultimate escape plan. She waited until Mandel was away on a trip. Of course, the house staff knew never to let her leave the property, so Hedy picked one of her maids, Laura, who she had initially hired for her resemblance to herself. Hedy slipped 3 sleeping pills into Laura's coffee and, after stealing her uniform, snuck out of the house through the maid's exit and stepped on board the first Trans-Europe Express bound for Paris. By the time she arrived in the French capital, Mandel had already been informed of her escape plot and he was on her trail. When a maid told Hedy that her husband was on his way to Paris, she immediately jumped on board another train, this time to Calais, before boarding a boat to London. MGM's boss Louis B. Mayer just happened to be in town, so Hedy made contact with a friend who worked as a talent agent and asked if he could put her in touch with the all-powerful king of Hollywood's most prestigious studio. Mayer was getting ready to board an ocean liner back to the United States, but he remembered Hedy from their first meeting and agreed to see her. As she might have expected, Mayer's attitude towards scandalous nudity had not wavered. But Hedy insisted that she'd been young, naive, and coerced into performing those now internationally notorious scenes. Perhaps feeling sorry for her, Mayer offered a standard contract at MGM, the kind dangled in front of many young hopefuls who may or may not ever get a real chance at making an impression. After initially refusing, Hedy changed her mind at the last minute and made a mad dash for the cruise liner. She spent the voyage disguised as the governess of a young, celebrated violin player who was also on board. It was a ruse performed to such convincing effect that, by the time the ship docked in New York, Louis B. Mayer had increased his offer of a studio contract, and Hedy Lamarr was on her way to becoming MGM's next big star.